Good morning, good afternoon, happy Thursday. Welcome to another special edition of MTC Studio Broadcast, coming to you live from our studios in Irvine, California. Today I'm very excited to have a great colleague and great friend of mine joining us from NorCal, Justin, who talks about increasing sales productivity by leveraging intelligent cloud. Before we get into the presentation, like always, feel free to send your questions through the Q&A box, and we're gonna go through over the questions throughout the presentation and after the broadcast. With that, Justin, welcome to the program. And if you don't mind just introducing yourself and let us know what you do as an enterprise architect, and I'm very excited to go over your presentation myself.
Awesome. Thanks, Ali. As Ali said, my name is Justin Preston. I'm an enterprise architect out of the Microsoft Northern California District. I've been with Microsoft for about 18 years, working on Office 365, productivity software, sales enablement, collaboration, et cetera. So have a broad range of experience with both Microsoft products and, of course, partner solutions as well. And as Ali said, really today what I'm here to talk about is maximizing sales productivity, which could be a relatively flexible term, I guess, if you want to think of it that way. We're certainly going to talk about it in the context of tools that you can leverage as a salesperson to make yourself more productive. We're also going to talk about it in the context of how organizations can increase their overall connectivity with their customers and increase their overall productivity. The best way to start this is we're going to start with a short video. And in this video, we really want to kind of frame out the problem that we see and also talk about the current state of the market, which is the ability to be able to interrogate information around the sales process or retail process and then start to have intelligent customer interactions. So I'll go ahead and start the video.
Person that has to walk around and count all this, making sure it's always stocked?
I don't think that's right. There's not someone here counting all day.
Yeah, there is. Otherwise what? The beverage fairy?
The process is actually pretty interesting. You're a grown-up, so I'm sure you know this. But in the factory where that's made, there are thousands of sensors carefully monitoring every stage of production. That makes the product better, and it detects equipment issues that a technician can fix before something breaks and stops the whole operation. Beyond that, every bottle is given a unique ID that allows it to be tracked from the factory to the cash register so that the stores know to keep the shelves full and the factory learns when to ramp up production.
Yeah, that sounds right.
These are good.
Get the juice box.
We have one. My car runs on old dinosaurs. That's crazy. Somehow, from the distant grave
to
my car.
The work we do to get the oil. The work we do to get the oil from the ground to your pump spans multiple continents and billions of sensors and devices attached to drills, pumps, pipes, scales, and trucks. The software and processing power we use allows us to analyze and watch this data in real time. With that kind of insight, we can predict and prevent equipment problems anywhere in the supply chain and fix them before they fail.
Okay.
We forgot to put fruit salad on the list. Why can't the fridge just take inventory and make a list for us?
But that can happen. We just need to update our fridge. You see, based on constant sampling of its circulating air, the fridge could already know when we're down to the last apple. The milk is 3 days from going bad, or the last lunchable has been eaten. We can also tell by rapid temperature fluctuation that we open the fridge way too often. So, in an effort to stop us from grazing, it recommends a good book to occupy our time. It's also monitoring how much water passes through our purifier. So if we're not drinking enough, it declines our credit card the next time we try to buy soda. And based on how often it senses ice cream barcodes in the freezer, it automatically adds a workout to our calendars. Then, the next time we're 2 miles from a grocery store and not driving in a manner that indicates we're frantically late for something, it simply texts our grocery list.
Yeah. None of that is real.
Not yet. Not yet.
All right, awesome. So hopefully what you guys got from that is just a little bit of insight into how we're thinking about interacting with customers, collecting data with respect to customer interactions, both from real world sensors and then also from the products they buy, historical information, et cetera. Okay. And what we're really going to talk about is how we as Microsoft are surfacing a lot of that information in the context of our tools, again, to make sales folks a bit more productive. Just to frame up the problem a little bit. So I was doing a little bit of reading today on my flight down to Southern California, and interestingly enough, there was an article on one of the sites that I follow that was specifically about customer relationship management and also talking about some of the issues that relate to customers that both need those solutions and who may have them but aren't necessarily getting the most out of them. The first point that we note here around cloud adoption was something that was called out in this article. About 10 years ago, 15% of customers had customer relationship management solutions that were in the cloud. Today, that number is about 87%. Okay, and then if you just look at it in context of cloud all up, customers are becoming more and more conversant with cloud-based offerings, and they're also becoming more and more comfortable leveraging the cloud for day-to-day operations, or in some cases, even for critical business functionality. We also see a shift in terms of the buying pattern, right? Where line of businesses are going out and looking for solutions to help them solve particular issues. And of course, as I'm sure a lot of the folks who are watching this webcast have seen over the last 10 to 15 years, IT has really had to align to those business goals in order to stay relevant in the context of these organizations. From a productivity perspective, we as Microsoft want to be able to help customers in this journey. And we have a great foundation in the fact that a lot of organizations out there are already leveraging our productivity tools, right? Those being things like Office, as well as Office 365, other tools like Visio, et cetera. And of course, all of the back office capabilities that we have as part of our stack, right? Things like SQL Server, Windows Server, et cetera. Okay. And then finally, on the innovation side, businesses are constantly changing and innovating. Before we started this broadcast, we were talking a little bit about my hometown, which happens to be Silicon Valley. And there you see it almost daily, right? Where this concept of disruption or coming up with new ways to solve essentially old problems is first and foremost. Right? And so as such, businesses are really trying to figure out how do we not only come up with an innovative solution, but how do we come up with an innovative business model around that solution that's going to help us compete with some of the larger players in the marketplace. Okay. So this is the context that we're going to leverage as we go through the rest of the conversation today. One other point I want to make about the productivity piece. You notice here that we called out specifically some numbers around the amount of dollars that are lost with respect to switching tasks. Right? So one of the things we'll make sure to point out is that for our sales productivity solutions, we want to essentially keep the user in the place they feel the most comfortable. Right? So that could be something like Microsoft Outlook. Could also be the browser. And we know that different customers are going to glom to different ways of doing business. It could also be something like a line of business application that you produce that surfaces some of this customer relationship information. So in either case, we want to make sure that we can provide as much functionality in that particular canvas and then allow the user to stay in one place and not have to do a lot of context switching. If we look at the current offering that Microsoft has in market, specifically around sales productivity and customer relationship management, we have a solution today that's called Microsoft Dynamics. One of the things we'll talk about at the end of this broadcast is a set of announcements that we made last week that is furthering this platform. And in fact, it really kind of ties together a lot of what we're going to discuss. But we'll show a little bit of that at the end. But in this case, Microsoft Dynamics is really a platform that allows you to build out end-to-end sales processes and effectuate those sales processes in the context of software, right? So what does that process look like from end-to-end? What are the different assets that I need to have associated with those different stages in the context of the process? And then do I have workflow or other aspects that I want to wrap around that, as well as automation to back-end systems? From a productivity perspective, where we're going to focus, we want to make sure that we're surfacing the right tools in the context of all of those different screens and interactions. And then we also want to start to look at how can we leverage some of the information we know about our customers, maybe from a historical perspective, and leverage information that we know about the other people in our organization to start to get a little bit more intelligence around how we should manage these different opportunities. Okay? And then finally, we'll touch just a bit on scalability, right? And so by virtue of having Microsoft Dynamics as part of our cloud-based offering, that's something that you essentially get as part of the solution. Just one final architecture slide just to show you guys how these things all relate. Right? So I focus primarily on the Office 365 side. But what's really interesting about this is that bottom layer. Right? So we've got Azure as part of the all-up cloud platform that's going to provide things like identity and multi-factor authentication, et cetera. Right? We'll talk a little bit about the application platform when we talk about what's coming in the next release. But having a unified bottom layer enables these different services in the context of Office 365 or Power BI or Cortana Intelligence, et cetera, to work really seamlessly with the Dynamics and Dynamics 365 platforms. So a lot of what you're going to see is really us enabling our own applications to now start to consume services as part of our own platform. And this is something that's really taken off in the last, I'd say, 3 to 4 years with respect to both Azure and Office 365 and now Dynamics 365. So there's tons of capabilities that debut in different parts of our stack that will then become available when we've sort of built them out and hardened them and fit them into the appropriate context. Just a quick example of that would be something like this broadcast you guys are watching. Today we have Azure Streaming Services. That's a platform component as part of Azure. And Office 365, we consume that in a couple different solutions, those being Skype for Business, Meeting Broadcast, and the Video Portal. So just an example of how you have these common services that you can connect into, and that's really a lot of what we're gonna talk about as we go through the broadcast today.
And Justin, I think I just want to add one more thing. I mean, that the importance of that application platform layer and, you know, things like Flow and Power Apps that you outlined is going to be super important to connect all this, you know, different LOBs together to come up with a real solution.
Awesome. Have you guys had a session on Flow yet here?
Not yet, but hopefully we will have soon.
All right, great. So if you guys haven't played around with Microsoft Flow, I believe it just went GA.
Yep.
Just released. It's very similar in concept to If This Then That, if you guys have played around with those kinds of tools. But it really allows you to start to build automation and workflow across systems based on different types of events. So it's a really powerful tool that you can leverage, not only in the context of personal productivity, but also in the context of team productivity. So when we look at the universe of Microsoft Dynamics, really what I want to point out here is that we're connected to essentially all of those other backend services and capabilities that exist in the other parts of the Microsoft Cloud. So in the case of Office 365, of course, that's not only going to be the Office apps, but also different functionality that those Office apps support, things like Power View and Power Maps. Or the communication side, you'll see Skype for Business is integrated directly into the CRM platform. So if I want to have communications with either my internal folks or with customers, you know, I can effectuate that directly from one interface. We talked a little bit about the Windows Azure integration, but what's really been exciting over the last few years is starting to fold in more capabilities around insights, social engagement, and then also something that's coming, which is Azure Machine Learning. Right? So again, taking that historical data that customers have, taking the information that we have about our interactions with them, and starting to now do some predictive analytics on things like what products should we look to sell them from a cross-selling perspective. Just to illustrate kind of this whole framework and approach, I thought it'd be good to talk about an example. Right? And so as Microsoft, you know, we have lots of different customers that we work with, lots of different industries. And it's always really interesting to figure out, you know, the solution, right? From Ali and my perspective, you know, we're enterprise architects. That's kind of the thing that gets us excited in the morning, is figuring out solutions for these particular problems. And what's nice about this is, generally speaking, not going to be a one-stop fits all. Right? So we constantly have to make sure that we're educating ourselves with respect to what customers are trying to accomplish and then how we can bring Microsoft capabilities to bear. So in this case, we had some folks that were working in the Asia Pacific region with an airline there. And this particular airline was really focused on customer service. Okay? And in the customer service context, they had a hotline that customers could call into. They could interact with customer service call operators. But it was a very one-to-one type of interaction, and they found it really hard to scale. Right? And in particular, for the airline business, right, cost is king. It's a very commoditized business, and they're always trying to drive out costs wherever they can. So in this case, they engaged with the Microsoft account team out of Asia Pacific to look at how could we start to scale some of these customer service representatives. Now, this particular customer had already done some work with respect to web chat, and what they found was they could actually kind of time slice some of those customer service representatives and actually could scale them to about 5 different web chats simultaneously. Right? Now, I'm sure from the business perspective, they thought that was great. From the customer service perspective or the customer service rep perspective, I'm sure they thought that was a bit of a stretch. But they were making it work. Right? What we did was we came in and started talking to them about leveraging some of the data that they already had in Microsoft Dynamics. Right? They're already a Dynamics customer. And hooking that up with our Conversations as a Platform solution. Right? So if you guys have looked at any of the Build or Ignite videos over the last 6 months or so, there's been a lot of work that Satya Nadella has been talking about with respect to intelligent agents, right, or intelligent bots, et cetera. And essentially, that's what we suggested for this particular customer. So could we spread out those customer requests over a set of intelligent agents that can do some triage and then get me down to a human when I actually need to get to a human, right? And as you would imagine, there was a certain percentage of those requests that they could essentially just take off the top that were relatively straightforward. Okay? And that's what we see in the industry all the time with things like self-service and those kind of capabilities. All right. So just a quick check-in and see if you guys are actually paying attention. I'll ask this one to Ali and see if he was falling asleep over there.
I don't know we have a pop quiz here, but go ahead.
How many products do you think that we had listed in that dynamic solar system slide, Ali? And I'll make it easy for you. I will make it a multiple choice question for you. So do you think it's A, 5 products, B, 10, C, 15, or D, more than 20?
You know, I saw so many circles, so I definitely want to go with D.
It's absolutely more than 20. In fact, I haven't counted up the bubbles because it would be most likely immaterial, right? We're continually folding more capabilities and more products and solutions into that ecosystem. And as we derive more functionality from the top level workloads that exist in Office 365 and Azure and now Dynamics, you're going to see that solar system slide get even richer.
So related to this question, I got a question from the audience, and maybe we can have a conversation over. So the question is, CRM Dynamics is doing a great job integrating Microsoft services, but what about non-Microsoft or third parties?
Yeah, that's a great question. So as part of the Dynamics 365 release that's coming up, you're going to have a really rich opportunity to integrate other third-party product solutions, back office systems, et cetera, as part of our platform. And you can actually do that today in a lot of contexts, both across the Dynamics platform and across Office 365. Right? One of the things we'll show you a little bit later is we'll show you some integration that we have between Power BI, which is our data visualization layer, and Microsoft Dynamics. We recognize that everybody's not a Dynamics customer, so when we go through that, what you'll see is there's a number of other CRM systems that I can connect Power BI to get that level of insight. So whereas we are putting a lot of focus on our own tooling and our own solutions, and as we bring them to market and making them the best that we can, we want to absolutely leverage the capabilities of our platform, again, where we can. We don't want to be siloed, right? We want to make sure that whatever we're producing is available for customers to be able to integrate into their environment, and we have great partners that can help you do that integration as well.
And I want to add a couple of more things. Again, the importance of solutions like Flow, which enables you to do this integration. And one big differentiator here is the hybrid scenario. So you don't have to have everything in the cloud. We can easily integrate with your on-premises solution and data and bring it to either Power BI or Dynamics CRM and have that end-to-end flow by integrating all these subsystems and microservices together.
Yeah, that's another really good point. I think sometimes we don't talk about that hybrid story enough. Although, realistically speaking, at least for my customers that I deal with, which is really a range, right, from customers that have 500 PCs all the way up to 250,000 PCs, that's a challenge, right? And so we definitely want to be able to help them out from an integration perspective. Okay. So let's go through a couple examples, right? So in this case, I'll click through these examples and talk through different ways that you can leverage what's available today, and then we'll also talk about what's coming in a very short period of time. Right? And I also want to start to set the context around some of these new capabilities like Azure Machine Learning and some of the Office 365 integration that we have as part of the solution. So in this case, I'm logged on to my local machine as the sales rep, Veronica. Right? And we're just going to go through a couple operations as it relates to interacting with a customer. Right? So this is a customer that wants to purchase some 3D printers, right, from Contoso, which is our fictitious company that we have here. And really what we want to illustrate is the different interaction points that you're going to have with that customer across sales, across analytics, across mobile, et cetera. Okay. All right. So in this first section, we're going to really focus on customer interactions and then also starting to bring some of those smarts to bear as it relates to interacting with customers. Okay. So what we have here is we've got Outlook, right? And we've got an email that came in from Alex, right, around a particular meeting. Now, we've got Dynamics completely integrated as part of Outlook today. And one of the things that you'll be able to do as you're provisioning users for CRM or for Dynamics is give them the ability to have this add-in as part of the Outlook experience. Okay. Once you get this Outlook experience, you can do things like directly take email and track it in CRM. Right? And what we'll see here as we click through is that I'll enter in some text, and then this email will get pushed over to the CRM environment. Right? We'll also assign this to a particular opportunity, right? So we've got an opportunity that's open. And there you can see right here in the middle, I've got the email from Alex for our follow-up. So being able, in a very intelligent, kind of seamless manner, to track things as they're coming in, move them over to the CRM system, and have them part as the overall record is a really important part of just customer interaction in general. We'll also talk about getting a more holistic view of your customer, again, as we go through these different examples. Okay, so from a quick checkpoint perspective, just a few things to talk about, and then we'll go into some more detailed demos. So tracking email, very easy to do, and of course search is integrated, as well as the ability to launch off to different opportunities. Right. From a integration perspective, you notice that there was no sign-in required, right? So once you have that add-in that's been provisioned either by your administrator or by an individual user, everything is seamless and just flows as part of that experience. Okay. If we look at some of the other partners out there, right, we recognize there's certainly other CRM solutions that you can leverage that do have things like add-ins that are part of Outlook, right? But given our tight association with the platform, tight association with those teams, we'll always look to get the tightest, most seamless integration possible. Okay. And then finally, why are we pointing this out, right? Really, why we're pointing this out is salespeople will go to the easiest thing that it is for them to use, right? I've worked in sales at Microsoft off and on for almost 20 years now, right? And I've worked with a huge range of sales folks, right? Some that were amazingly good and some that were not so good, right? But in any context, it's a truism that they will go to what's ever easiest for them to help them get their job done. And I think that that follows for a lot of us as well, right? And so as you're building out these solutions, you want to make it as easy and seamless as possible and put everything in front of the user where it makes sense. Okay? In fact, I don't know that we'll have time to do this, but if we were to look at the Microsoft implementation of sales productivity, what you'd see is we've actually built out a line of business application specifically to integrate all of these different aspects. Okay. Ali, did you have any questions or comments you wanted to make?
No, I think we're good.
Awesome. Now let's talk about team selling. This is where it gets really exciting from my perspective. As I said, I primarily focus on Office 365, and there's just been an amazing amount of work and capabilities that have been produced on the Office 365 side in the last 18 months. And one of those capabilities that we're really, really excited about is this concept of Office 365 groups. So if you think about groups, the best way, or the way I like to think about it is, we're taking the best of breed of our own products and giving you a really streamlined collaboration structure. Right? If you talk to some of our product team or product marketing, they'll tell you things about Azure Active Directory objects and distribution list replacement and things of that nature. And those things are also true, right, from a technical perspective. But really, if you think about SharePoint and Exchange and Skype for Business and OneDrive, et cetera, we have all these amazing assets, and we want to be able to pull them together in such a way that it makes it really easy for users to transact on information, be able to go back and interrogate the history of that group, and also connect that group to other lines of business processes that they have in their environment. And we're really excited that now Groups is available as part of the Dynamics platform. So to integrate this, what you'll have to do is you'll go through and as part of your CRM administration, you'll install the solution for Office 365 Groups. Once you have it installed, you're going to see it as part of the navigation that you see here. When you click on Officer 65 groups, we're gonna essentially load that group as part of the CRM record, right? And here you're gonna get all of those different structures that I talked about that are part of a group. So on the left-hand side, you can see the calendar that relates to this particular group, and you can see conversations that we can have. And what's nice about these conversations is, of course, we're surfacing them here in CRM, but they exist in Outlook, they exist in the browser. We've kind of tried to abstract the fact that you are, in some cases, sending email as part of this. But we give you this kind of very nice flat feed that makes it really easy for folks to interact with. On the right-hand side, you can also see we have documents that are associated. Again, those come out of the group as well as a notebook. Right? And so we'll talk a little bit more about OneNote integration in just a second here. Okay. If we scroll down, we can post back messages as it relates to the group. And if we need to add folks as they relate to the group, we can do that directly from this UI as well. So what we'll do here is we'll also go through and look at document storage. Now, you could use the group as the place where you keep your documents, right? And we'll have that integrated. But we recognize, again, not everybody is in Office 365. They haven't necessarily taken that step yet. So we want to give you some different options for where you can store artifacts that relate to a particular opportunity or account. So in this case, we've also done some integration with OneDrive and SharePoint. So groups are a place that I can store content as it relates to different customers or opportunities. I can also associate OneDrive locations, which groups natively includes, or a specific SharePoint site. And all of this is available in the configuration for CRM. Okay. All right. Next thing we want to look at is really around being able to integrate OneNote as part of this experience. So OneNote's been an amazing application. It's been in Office for a while now, I believe since Office 2007, I think it was a standalone application before that. I'm dating myself a little bit with respect to that. but I can remember going to customers at the time, and you know, some of them really got it, and other folks just didn't get it at the time, right? And today, we're so conversant with multiple people getting in a document or getting in an artifact and working and typing on the same line and doing brainstorming, et cetera, that in some cases, OneNote was probably a little bit ahead of its time. But we've really brought that as part of the experience that you're going to get from a sales productivity perspective as well. So in this case, I can have notes that are associated to different recurring meetings that occur or individual meetings. So I've got a team meeting notebook here that I'm going to go ahead and click on. When I click into that notebook, what you're going to see is a couple different things. The first is OneNote's an intelligent application, right? So at the top, you see the name of this particular meeting. And you also see a link that says link back to Outlook. The reason why you see that is because in Outlook, we have a plugin that allows you to take anything that you're working on in Outlook and move it over to OneNote. And we keep that association. So you can always get back to those artifacts or different emails that were associated with this particular meeting. Right beneath that, you see participants. Another great feature that you get as part of this. In fact, again, I was having a conversation with some folks at Microsoft. Believe it or not, we do actually work. We don't just have a lot of water cooler conversations. but we were talking about, in particular, a feature that we wanted for Outlook, which is when I start a meeting, I want to know, did these people actually accept the meeting in Outlook? Right? And generally speaking, you don't know that, particularly in Skype for Business, right? Because we're on a lot of Skype for Business meetings or conference calls. And you know, a lot of times you'll get, hey, did so-and-so get the meeting? Did they accept? Are they going to join? Can you ping them on their cell phone, et cetera? Right? And sometimes I'm that person. I get spaced out doing other things in the context of the day. But in this case, OneNote's going to tell you that information right up front. So as soon as I start the meeting, or you know, if I'm trying to be a little bit ahead of the game, I open up my OneNote notebook, say 5 minutes before the meeting, I'm already going to know before people start joining whether or not they accepted. Okay? And then if once they've accepted, when they join the meeting, particularly if it's a Skype for Business meeting, I'm also going to see that they actually joined the call, et cetera. All right, so we'll give you some of that context natively as part of the Office application experience. And then finally, even the task list that you see down here is an intelligent object. So tasks that I create here can be associated back to Outlook tasks and can be assigned out to different individuals. So OneNote's a really powerful application that you can leverage in the context of sales productivity. Right? And we see folks really taking this to the next level. One of my favorite features, just to go slightly far afield, is the recording capability. So I used to do a lot of seminars around financial planning and stock trading and things of that nature. And I would sit there with my laptop and OneNote open and record those seminars and then use the speech to text functionality to actually bring it in as text, right? And then go ahead and clean it up a little bit. So just amazing things that you can do with this particular platform, and it's great to have it integrated, again, as part of the CRM experience.
Okay. So, I mean, the other thing that we need to kind of have a conversation is having access to all this data and this flow mm-hmm. on your mobile devices.
I mean, absolutely. So we'll talk about mobile in just a second. I've got a good example of showing how you would see this on a tablet or some other kind of device.
Awesome.
But yeah, mobile is a first party is a first party constituent to this scheme, right? We want to make sure that whatever we're providing in the mobile context, in the full desktop context or the browser context, we provide where it makes sense in the mobile context. And that's also really important, right? You're gonna get this data, but you're gonna get different views. Because on a mobile device, you have less real estate, and the things that we wanna present to users are generally slightly different, okay? All right, so just to finish up on the OneNote integration, I just wanna talk about a few other capabilities that you're also gonna see. So I talked a little bit about Azure Machine Learning, right? So Azure Machine Learning is this massively parallel processing solution that we have that runs in the cloud that essentially allows you to do predictive analytics or build machine learning and predictive models and then assign those models to different data sets. So in this case, what we're using is Azure Machine Learning to look through customers' previous orders, previous information, et cetera, and paint this suggestions option that you see on the right-hand side. When I go ahead and click through to that, what I'm gonna get are products that we want to suggest to the customer for upsell or cross-sell, right? And this is, again, really powerful capability, right? A customer spent a lot of money to get this kind of intelligence and a lot of time training folks to say, you know, these are the new solutions or the new products that are coming down the pike. This is what we currently have in market. This is how you connect those two together. These are where the opportunities are, et cetera. Being able to also surface that in the context of the tools that folks are using in a very seamless way really, really helps drive that message home, right, with respect to that upsell and cross-sell opportunity. Okay. So in this case, we'll go ahead and pick the different options that this customer is potentially looking for. We'll go ahead and put it as part of their quote, and then we can go ahead and send it off. Okay. All right. So again, just a quick takeaway with respect to that. We talked a little bit about Office 365 integration, although we'll talk a little bit more about that. OneNote and Groups collaboration is super powerful and really, really exciting, and I'll show you guys a few other examples of that in just a minute. For the Azure Machine Learning side, this is just the beginning of what we're going to do from an Azure Machine Learning perspective. So right now we're looking at product line items, but you can imagine there's a huge set of data that we could potentially be ingesting as part of Azure ML and start to really figure out how can we leverage that data to drive business processes forward.
So Justin, please. There's a question from audience, and this is an interesting one. So the question is, what would be the best way to evangelize Dynamics CRM in somebody's organization? OneNote is a great example, but this is the case is everybody using OneNote that you can, you know, use that to familiarize them with the CRM. But, you know, do you have any best practices?
For CRM specifically or for OneNote?
For CRM.
So for CRM, I think the best practices really start small, right? So we have, as part of the platform, some very focused applications and capabilities, right? And this really comes to the fore when we talk a bit about Dynamics 365 and sort of how we scope down the different capabilities. That being said, pick a particular business processes. You know, pick a particular workflow. Pick a particular line of business. Right, and work through the individual constraints, capabilities that they're looking for, et cetera, and really model that process out both from a learning perspective and then also as a template for you to then start being able to integrate and bring more folks as part of the solution. On the OneNote side, you can get into it really easily. The great thing is OneNote's included as part of Office, and that OneNote integration that you get with Outlook is native. So if you have Office installed, you can start taking notes on any meetings yourself locally, right? As you move into Dynamics CRM and configure that integration with OneNote, then you'll also get that option as part of that platform as well.
I like the way you frame it. I mean, we need to focus on a business scenario or a challenge, mm-hmm. and then instead of, you know, bringing different tools or technology, we basically provide a solution. And with the addition of mobility access and, you know, ease of use of any devices that you're going to talk about, that's going to be a no-brainer.
Absolutely. Now, one of the things I didn't show in the previous video was this last bullet point on the feature side, which is around Delve for trending documents. So again, Delve is a really interesting solution for us. You know, Ali is, as I'm sure you guys know, is a SharePoint guy, right? That's his background. And as such, you know, Delve is really leveraging SharePoint and Azure ML to, in my perspective, really change the paradigm with respect to search, right? The box in the sky is kind of fundamentally uninteresting, right? I go up there, I put something in, I got to triage through all the results. It's actually more work than it's worth sometimes. Wouldn't it be great if I could look at the context of who you are, who you work with, what you work on, et cetera, and then start to get you content that I think will be of interest to you? We're now starting to surface that type of content as part of Dynamics as well. So Delve, trending documents and suggestions and content will now start to flow as part of that platform. Again, keeping you in that single pane of glass. And then, of course, you can also have affirmative search as part of that experience. So I can go ahead and search through content vis-a-vis Delve as well. Okay. All right. Since Ali brought it up, let's talk a little bit about mobile. So on the mobile side, there's really great mobile apps today that exist, again, for Microsoft Dynamics and for the upcoming Microsoft Dynamics 365. I'll show you a couple different scenarios as it relates to mobile productivity. This first one will be, again, on the current platform, and then we'll talk a little bit about what's coming. So from a mobile perspective, you're going to see mobile in a couple different ways. The first is, from a PC perspective or mobile device perspective, we now have Cortana available across a lot of different surfaces, no pun intended. Right, so in this case, we've done a bit of an integration with Cortana running in Windows 10 directly into Dynamics CRM. And so I can see things like the cases or the accounts that I have associated. Right? I can drill into those individual accounts, and I can see deals that are available beneath those individual accounts. Okay. And then we'll, again, provide this same level of data and detail as part of the mobile app, which is what you're seeing now. So this is the actual tablet application, right? So you'd see this on iPad or Android. Of course, you could also browse to these individual pages as well on any of those mobile devices and get a very similar type of experience, right? So earlier we saw documents that were associated with a particular account or opportunity. Here are those same documents just presented in a manner that makes sense for a mobile perspective. Okay. What we're also doing is looking at how we can help organizations effectuate their business process as part of, or their sales process in this case, as part of the solution. And to do that, we have a capability that we've built into CRM that we call Learning Path. And essentially what it allows you to do is customize the solution for your own process. So I'm a new salesperson coming into Contoso. How do I know where to start? Right? I've been at Microsoft, as I said, for about 18 years, and there's a lot of classes. I've attended Microsoft sales training at least 4 or 5 times. And it gets more complex, and in some cases more interesting, in other cases less interesting over the course of those refutations. But as a new person coming in, it's absolutely critical that I understand how to call, what stage deals are in, how to interact with folks like the Microsoft Technology Centers, where I'm going to bring folks down for different types of engagements, et cetera. And we can build that directly into the tool. And so as a new person comes in, they can essentially be guided as to exactly what they should be doing with respect to onboarding new opportunities and then taking them all the way through to close. All right, so just one more takeaway, and then we'll click over to talking a little bit about Power BI and analytics, which again is a really, really exciting piece from my perspective. So Cortana integration is there, and you'll see some deeper Cortana integration as part of the Dynamics 365 solution that's coming up. From a mobile app perspective, the next demo I show you will be a little bit more exciting, but we're even now starting to do things like surface the add-ins that you see as part of Outlook into the mobile devices, right? So I can truly live just with a mobile device as a salesperson, right? I don't need to boot my laptop or my Surface Book or my Surface Pro really for any reason. And again, I'll show you a quick example of that that we had as part of the Dynamics 365 launch. And then, of course, Learning Path is again, a really powerful tool that you can take advantage of that's going to help both build in that business process and then help guide folks as they're leveraging it. Okay. In terms of some differentiation, it's always good to call out the fact that, you know, from a Cortana or intelligent assistant perspective, Microsoft's approach is a little bit different than some of the other approaches that you're going to see in the marketplace, right? So in some cases, you know, competitors of ours are more focused on privacy as a differentiator, or in some cases more focused on being more open as a differentiator. So in the case of something like Amazon Echo, it's a very open platform. I can hook it up to different types of actions, et cetera, right? In the case of Siri, it's a little bit less contextual, far less actions, just given the context of the data that I'm using is much more private, right? We kind of float in the middle, right? So there's an opt-in step that you have as part of Cortana, right? So that I can get access to that private data. But then once we have access, we want to leverage that to give you some differentiated value propositions with respect to being able to surface information about those different opportunities. All right, so now on to one of the pieces that I'm, again, really excited about, which is around sales analytics. And what makes me really excited about this is, again, this is leveraging capabilities that we've had as part of Office 365 for a little bit of time now, which is really our Power BI solution. So from a sales perspective, what you're going to see is we've made it really seamless to connect out from Power BI into Dynamics CRM. What you're seeing here is a dashboard that we've already created, but I thought it would be interesting to actually show you guys what this experience is like live, okay? So here, let's do one thing. Let's kill the PowerPoint. If you guys have done a lot of PowerPoints, you know that you go into presenter mode and then it won't necessarily show what you're showing. So I've got Edge browser open here, and I've got Power BI that I'm logged into as my user, Veronica. And one of the things that you're going to note about Power BI is it's really a layer that you can use to visualize any kind of data, right? And you'd be amazed the kind of data sets that are available out there. For example, I have two small kids, and I spent a holiday break downloading all my purchase data from Amazon so I could see which one of my kids was costing me more money. My daughter's formula cost more, my son drank more, so it's kind of a wash, right? But it was kind of an interesting analysis to do, and I could get that not only in the context of what products that I bought for them, but I could get things like where they were shipped to, I could get time ranges, etc. So it's a super powerful platform to take even relatively generic data like my Amazon purchase data and give me some insight. But in this case, we also want to be able to connect it out to other services or capabilities that you have in your environment. On the right-hand side, really you could think of those as your traditional data sources, flat files, databases, et cetera, that you can connect Power BI into. On the left-hand side, the first box is really referencing what we call content packs. So think of these as predefined dashboards that have things like predefined connection strings, et cetera, that you can share throughout your environment. And that makes it really easy to share reporting and share insights without necessarily having to go set people up and get them access to the data specifically, et cetera, right? I'm providing a view to them. What's really interesting from my perspective is the second box, which is services that we can connect out to. This is something that Power BI has had since its inception, which is the ability to connect out to existing SaaS services and start to consume their data and give you insight as it relates to them. Now, we're obviously going to do this in the context of CRM, but you know, as was asked earlier, you know, Microsoft is not a silo, right? So in this case, if I needed to connect out to Salesforce, we've worked with Salesforce to build out those default views for content that we want to make available in our platform. In this case, we're going to go ahead and connect out to CRM. Right? And just to show you how to do this, it's really, really easy and also, you know, very powerful. So in this case, I'll go ahead and choose to connect. The only thing I have to add in is the name of my instance. And the number of months I want. So in this case, we'll choose 12. Then we'll get asked for some authentication, and we'll get into the actual dashboard. So what method do we want to use to authenticate? Of course, we're going to use OAuth. We should be using OAuth. Interesting. Let's try. Anonymous shouldn't work, but we'll try it. Should be OAuth. Well, in either case, this is why I did the video and made sure that I had the dashboard available to show you guys. If you can connect through, in which case it looks like I'm having a little bit of an issue, what you would get is, again, this really rich dashboard that becomes available to you as part of as part of Power BI. Now, what's also nice about this is we'll show you some examples of what this is going to look like going forward, where we're actually embedding Power BI as part of the sales experience.
Okay. And Justin, I mean, we're actually, for our own purposes, we use the exact same process that you just demoed.
Absolutely.
It's very powerful and easy.
The way that Ali and I manage our business is vis-a-vis Power BI, right? So the MTCs have some really rich dashboards that we leverage for that purpose. Okay, so I know we're getting a little bit tight on time, but I did want to show you guys just really quickly a few glimpses of what's coming in just under a week and a half. November 1st is when we're going to start launching Dynamics 365. From a paradigm perspective, it's going to be slightly different than what you guys are seeing with the existing Dynamics solution. So what we've done here is we've taken our ERP solution, which is AX, and we've merged it with our CRM product. And then we've also given you purpose-built applications around these different areas, right? Things like field service, project service, financial sales, et cetera. Okay? What I want to point out is just a few quick demo screens just so you guys get an idea for how this is going to change the game. Okay? So the first thing is we're going to give you one place, right, a portal where all of your folks can jump off from. Right? So in this case, these are the applications that I've been provisioned for, as well as any third-party apps that I want to bring as part of this. On the lower right, you see that we have a link out to AppSource. We'll talk about what AppSource is in just a minute. But it's essentially a catalog of different solutions that integrate as part of the Dynamics platform. I mentioned that Power BI is going to now become front and center. So Power BI dashboards will be presented by default for sales folks so they can now start to get some insight with respect to their business, right? And you can see that we can build out really, really rich visualizations with respect to the data that's available in CRM. So not only what sales are happening, but also looking at our own brands versus partner brands, actually being able to look at real-time analysis of the supply chain and be able to feed streaming data in as part of this experience. And then, of course, looking at things like historical sales and trends.
So, Justin, quick question. In terms of social sentiments, what's our story there? How can we combine, that live feed from, sources like Twitter or Facebook into pipeline?
Great question. So, as part of Dynamics 365, we'll also have the ability to go out to those individual services and start to collect that social sentiment and bring it in as part of the platform. We do that today in a couple of different ways. So, there's a couple components of CRM today called social listening that allow you to do that, right? So essentially I can enter in some information about my customer, about the services that they're on, and start to collate and get some data around what people are saying about that particular customer or brand. Those capabilities will roll forward as part of Dynamics 365 and will get richer as well.
Okay. Thank you.
Of course, you're still going to have the power of all the individual applications. So here, if you know CRM today, what you're going to get in terms of Dynamics 365 is not going to be that different, at least in the context of the sales workload. All right, we're just going to add additional capabilities as part of that. So you'll still have dashboards, you'll still have your accounts and opportunities that you're going to manage, et cetera. Just to drill in real quickly to an existing opportunity. So if I look at this opportunity for printers, here's where you'll start to see some of those new capabilities that are coming in. So we have a solution today in Microsoft Dynamics that's called Customer Insights, where we can start to suggest different actions to the salesperson based on, again, things we know about the customer. So in this case, we have an opportunity that's set to close soon, right? We want to do some interrogation and make sure that we're up to speed on that opportunity and that we've talked with the customer and that it actually, in fact, is supposed to close. Right? And this, again, is a lot of what sales folks do with pipeline management, et cetera. So if I drill in here, I could see the individual line items that are associated with this particular opportunity. Right? And then also directly from this UI, if I need to create an order, when I create an order here in the sales aspect of Dynamics 365, it will automatically flow back to the operation side of the house, right? Which was previously Dynamics AX. Again, that's also integrated as part of this new solution. So in the nav on the left-hand side, if I click on the Dynamics logo, I'll see all the different solutions that are available to me, including operations. And if you guys are familiar with AX, this is very similar to what you'll see today, right? we're really unifying the front end and the back end in the context of one overall solution. Right? That's the point that we're really trying to get across with respect to Dynamics 365. Here we can see there's the order that we put through, right? That got pushed through automatically to the back end. And then here also you'll see some of that with respect to mobile. Right? So one mobile example is just being able to interrogate the things that are flowing through the back end. Right? So I want to look at something like sales order management. I can click through on your mobile, look at individual sales orders, et cetera, and then even do things like work with those sales orders. So if I need to ship products as part of those sales orders, I can do it directly from a mobile device in this context. Okay. All right. The other thing that I wanted to talk about really briefly from a mobile perspective is just showing you guys how you can take advantage of leveraging the mobile applications from a sales perspective. So here we'll do this using an iPhone. And we'll go ahead and drop into the Outlook client. Now we've got a meeting up here at the top from Jim. Jim happens to be one of our customers. And in this case, he works at a winery and we're in the business of selling chairs to him. So we've got a meeting that's coming up. And I want to get some context about the meeting. If I click into that particular email, one thing I want to point out is that all of the contextual information about this customer is available as part of this email. And the way I get that is vis-a-vis the Dynamics add-in. So right next to where you see View More, there's a little add-in. That's actually the Dynamics 365 add-in. And when I click on that, it's going to give me all that information with respect to that particular customer. Okay. So now as I'm going into the meeting, I have the correct context, even including things like the current opportunity that we need to be managing to, as well as any issues that this customer has had in the past. And again, as somebody that's been in sales in the past, a lot of activity goes into planning meetings that you're going to have with customers. What are we going to talk about? What's the opportunity? How are we going to structure the meeting, et cetera? A lot of that can be handled just by interrogating these records. Okay. So in this case, if we drill into that opportunity, we can see there's an opportunity for office furniture. I can open that opportunity, again, directly from mobile, and do things like create a quote for that particular customer. If there's documents that are associated with this customer, again, those will be surfaced, similarly to what we showed you in the tablet app. And we can have templates to drive our business process. So down here at the bottom, these word templates are actually referencing the quote that I want to put together. Right? So there's my opportunity proposal. I could click in directly into, again, I haven't left Outlook, really. I've just been in this mobile application. There's my template for the quote. I can go ahead and create that quote directly on my mobile device. And ship it off to Jim. Okay? And then what's nice is this all gets round-tripped into the other productivity tools that I'm used to working with. So just to skip forward a little bit, if I'm in Outlook and I need to make any updates or changes to that particular quote, those will come through. What you also notice is that we're doing contextual recognition. So in Office for a while, we've had these add-ins that can do things like recognize different types of content that are part of emails and then suggest different actions or different capabilities. So up at the top, you see Bing Maps and you see action items. We also have recognizers that relate to CRM. So when we see quotes that relate back to the CRM system, we can now do that linking automatically. And you can see on the right-hand side, we've got a task pane that pops out that gives you more information with respect to this particular opportunity. Okay. Finally, again, I know we're short on time. One last thing I wanted to show you guys with respect to CRM was some of the stuff that we're doing from an intelligence perspective. Right? So we talked a little bit about Azure ML, but I also want to talk about relationships. So the heart of all of this, right, from a sales productivity perspective, is getting to and working with customers in a more seamless manner. Right? And again, we know a lot of information about you potentially if you're leveraging a bunch of different parts of our stack. Right, including things like meetings you have coming up, et cetera, et cetera. And so we want to be able to, again, surface that and then also give you some insight into where you should be putting your time. So in this case, for this particular sales rep, I can see what my day is going to look like. If I drill into a particular meeting, I can see the attendees that are associated with it, even things like where this meeting is going to happen. And if I have information about this particular customer, in this case, the customer happens to be internal Microsoft folks, what you'll notice is we'll even give you things like contextual news as it relates to this particular customer, again, before even walking in the door. Okay. What's also really powerful about this is we'll start to give you some insight into what the relationship sort of health is with this particular customer. So in this case, are there any questions that are outstanding? But more importantly, if we click through to the dashboard, I want to be able to see things like, for opportunities, you know, what's the relationship health that's associated? So here we've got the Northwind account. If we click in, what we're going to see is we've got an opportunity here up at the top, right, for $2.5 million. But if we look at the charts that are associated with that, we see that our relationship with Northwind is actually relatively poor. And so we've got a huge deal that's supposed to close soon, and we haven't done a lot of work with this customer, right? So we want to make sure that we could shepherd this over the finish line. And what we're going to do in this context is give you some of that insight. So this is also, again, coming out of some of the work that we're doing with Azure ML and the Office Graph, to now start to surface things like, how often are you interacting with these customers, right? And this gets really interesting, right? So I can get down to things like, you know, who was scheduling meetings? Were they driving the meetings? Were we driving the meetings? What was the last interaction? I mean, if you just think about the different types of sales conversations that you have on a regular basis, a lot of it is these kinds of things. Hey, what was the last time we talked to those folks? And is what we talked to them last time still relevant today, et cetera, et cetera? Again, having this holistic record of what those interactions look like and being able to assign some ranking, some relevance or some measure to the quality of that relationship becomes really, really powerful in terms of helping sales folks prioritize as to where they put their time. And again, these are just some other options or some other views that you get with respect to kind of this intelligence, right, with respect to quotes. Notice here that we even have an email that the customer sent that nobody responded to. And maybe that's the reason that our relationship happens to be lagging with these customers. I mentioned earlier that I've worked with lots of different sales reps. The good ones that I worked with generally had a policy of always getting back to customers within 24 hours. Right. So you could see those kinds of learnings just from a very anecdotal perspective starting to bubble through with respect to some of our tools. Okay. So that's all I wanted to cover today. I know it's been a lot of information, and hopefully I didn't talk too fast. I'm an East Coaster, but I really appreciate you guys having me as part of this broadcast. And with that, I'm going to turn it back over to Ali for any additional questions.
No, awesome. That was very insightful, and thank you again. And thanks to all the audience folks that, you know, stayed with us. We went a little bit over time, but we're looking forward to see you in our next session. And as you know, with all the other sessions, everything's going to be available shortly offline, and you guys can watch this video again. With that, I want to thank you all, and I wish you a good day, a great day. And until next time, goodbye.